Blog Talk Radio. Number 87, Sidney Crosby.
It has been for Penguins hockey, Penguins news, whatever you want to call it. Welcome to the Pens Nation radio show. I'm Andy Hughes, and I'm joined once again by my co-hosts Joe Depto and Ash DeLengua. Guys, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Got lots to talk about. I like that. I don't like when like we have to try to stretch out like one story into an hour. I like that now we have like multiple things we can talk about.
Yeah. There's certainly a lot of things to talk about. But what a week. Jordan Staal traded on Sunday I'm losing all my dates here. Friday the 22nd. And then here we are Thursday, 6 days from when after Jordan Staal is traded, we hear the news that the captain Sidney Crosby agrees to a 12-year, $104.4 million contract. They'll keep him in with the Penguins until the 2024-2025 season, and that'll start after this season. So, guys, your initial thoughts? I got to say, this is a tremendous deal. The cap hit will remain at $8.7 million, just as it has been for the past 5 years. Just an unbelievable, unselfish move by Mr. Crosby today.
I think unselfish is probably the best word you could use to describe it. I mean, think about it, not even from an NHL perspective, but just from pro sports in general. You see all these guys in these different sports, guys, you know, in the NBA and NFL getting all this stuff off the field. There's so many players in the MLB that just get overpaid over so many seasons and, just get endless amounts of cash thrown at them. We have all this stuff. You get to the NHL and the best player in the world actually takes less money to help his team out. I mean, it's the same cap hit, but let's face it, Sidney Crosby basically had the Penguins right where he wanted them in terms of finances. He could have asked for any number, and the Penguins would have gave it to him. So it's such a refreshing thing to see a player do that, not only for the good of his team, but, you know, the best player in the league. I'm sure the NHLPA isn't happy about it, but I think it's great.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Ashley?
I have to agree with Joe 100%. I mean, here's a guy, undoubtedly one of the best in the world. Sometimes people say that he is the absolute best in the world, and he could have asked for a whole heck of a lot more than he got. And I think, it's kind of, it allows us to be a little bit cynical towards those people that, you know, like to throw out all the stupid Crosby jokes and, like, you know, you overpay for him and whatnot, because clearly we didn't overpay for him. He's stuck right where he has been. And I think that says a lot about him as an athlete, but also about how much he loves the city of Pittsburgh, he loves the team, and how much he loves the sport. Because it is a pretty unselfish thing to do when you consider that, like Joe said, you have these athletes who, you know, they just take and take and take and take and more and more and more.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with it. I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah, it's certainly a great deal. I mean, and Crosby has had all the leverage in the world. I mean, Ray Shiro pretty much flat out said, you know, whatever, we'll give this guy whatever he wants. He could have taken a lot more. He could have went up to Ray Shiro and have been like,
"I'm the best, man. I did it."
And could have demanded $12 million, $14 million per season. But he chose not to and helps the team. And I want to ask you this, guys, now. Now that he's locked up, $8.7 million cap hit for the next 12 years after this season, well, including this season, I guess, too, how does that impact the future of Evgeny Malkin or their ability to sign a Zach Parise or a Ryan Suter?
Well, I mean, that's the, you know, the $8.7 million question, isn't it? I mean, that's, I think, what everybody wants to know now that Crosby has taken that. Will Evgeny Malkin want the same contract? I think he will. I mean, I think people have this notion, and it's completely xenophobic. It's borderline almost prejudiced and racist, what people have against Russians. It's serious. The comments that people make against Russian players and when it gets to contract time, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, think about Justin Schultz and everything that's going on with him. Like, if it were a Russian player doing that, how many ignorant comments would come out? I think you're going to see so many of those come out. Malkin's going to want more. He's going to want an Ovechkin contract. They're going to have to trade him. I mean, John Buchecross earlier today was like, he pretty much already shipped Malkin out of town, you know, summer of 2013. I absolutely think Evgeny Malkin can take the same price. It depends on right where they are now. I don't think it'll be a problem at all. If they can get Paul Martin, the reason why they wouldn't be able to get in on both Paris and Suter is because of Paul Martin's contract. The only reason that they couldn't, you know, bring in a high-profile wing in the past or get in on big free agents in the past is because they had Mahalik and Martin's contract making, you know, $9 million annual cap. But they don't have one of those, and they might not have both of them. So I don't think it affects it at all, and I think Evgeny Malkin will take the same exact contract next summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it helps out both causes because I agree with you, Joe. I don't see Malkin demanding more than that. And, you know, him coming over from Russia to Pittsburgh, it was a tough transition for him, and I just don't see Malkin demanding more money and, you know, forcing a trade because he just doesn't seem like a guy that likes to change, you know, have a major change of scenery too much. And he seems really comfortable in Pittsburgh ever since, you know, Sergei Gonchar taught him everything here. And I think he's real comfortable here. He loves it here, loves the fans. And I totally agree with you. I think Malkin will maybe get the same deal again as Crosby. We'll have to wait and see. That'll be around this time next season. He'll be in the same boat as Saul and Crosby were, where they can only negotiate and after July 1st. So it's going to be interesting to see, and Sunday's going to be very interesting. But while we're on this Crosby contract talk, his agent, Pat Brisson, and Ray Shiro had a conference call today, and we're going to take a listen to that right now.
The first question comes from Dave Molinari of Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Gentlemen, congratulations on getting the deal done. This question is for both of you. Whose idea was it to do such a long-term contract, and did either side have any reservations about that kind of commitment?
Hi, Dave, it's Ray, and thank you. I guess I'll answer that one on behalf of Pat as well. That was a deal that we talked about, and the longer term, we felt that that was better for both the player and the team. And this is third contract, NHL contract, the Penguins, and just felt appropriate that it would take him to a certain level in his career and to the end of his career. And I said that a few months ago, halfway through the season, that our goal this summer was try to sign Sidney Crosby to make him a member of the Penguins for life. And I hope that's going to do that.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Chris Johnson of the Canadian Press.
Hello, gentlemen. Question for Ray. Just wondering, when you entered these negotiations, did you think that you might get Sidney at the same AAV as he had on his last deal?
I wasn't too sure, because until you get in a negotiation, you don't really know exactly how it's going to go. And Pat can speak to this as well, I guess. But, you know, we've talked over the last couple months, kind of structures, things like that. And as we get down to it, and, you know, I sat down with Sid and talked to him, and, you know, I think the balancing act here was to try to find a contract that in his third contract could pay Sidney Crosby accordingly. But as Sid always says to me and said again, is that, okay, that's fine, but how can I help the team? How does that help the team? And, you know, from a manager standpoint, the AAV is always important. And, you know, so he just came back after he talked to Pat and, you know, near the end here and just said, you know, this AAV is really what I want. It's helpful for the team. And, you know, and as I said, he's never been reluctant to help the team out like that, so we certainly appreciate it, and ownership appreciates that, and it's very beneficial, and says a lot about Crosby.
Yeah, I can add, Ray, I actually, once the landscape was in place and we were talking, and it was important to Sidney, as Ray mentioned here, to have a friendly AAV, so to speak, and to be in that ballpark was very important to him.
The next question comes from Mike Pizzuta of WDVE-FM Pittsburgh.
Ray, can we assume if you're going to be active in free agency at all that this sets the bar and nobody would make more than this as a potential add-on?
see on Sunday. We'll be making a lot of other teams will be, and we'll see what's available. And if there's players out there that kind of fit to what we're looking for, and certainly if we fit what they're looking for, and we'll go from there. But, you know, we're in a different spot than we were maybe a week ago in terms of our salary cap situation. And it's good to have Sidney signed back up and Gino under contract for 2 more years. And, you know, to have these franchise players signed up, it's good for the franchise no matter what happens.
The next question comes from AJ Perez of FoxSports.com.
Hey, Ray, I've been reading, trying to read up on this and talk to some former GMs. Talk a little bit about the exclusions under the insurance policy and what this means for Sidney and the Pens in general.
Well, the insurability of the contract is something I never talked about in the past, won't talk about on this contract, and certainly won't talk about any contracts moving forward. That's a team issue, and we'll deal with that internally on any of these contracts. So, it's a good question, but nothing that I've talked about before and is not going to talk about. I'll talk about the hockey contract so much, but not about insurability of a player contract.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Dan Rosen of NHL.com.
That's a question for Pat. Pat, was there ever a concern that this wouldn't get done this summer and Sid would have to enter the year basically on a one-year deal?
Not really. I mean, when we started the discussions, I mean, Sidney wanted to be a Penguins for forever, and when this contract is starting, he'll be 26, and he was looking at, first of all, he understands the structure. He's been in Pittsburgh for, 7 years now, and he knows how committed this organization is, and it made sense to him to wanting to explore a long-term deal immediately.
The next question comes from Albie Oxenrider of WPXI.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Ray. Congratulations. My question was in part answered earlier, but let me just ask you this, Ray. Was there ever a doubt in your mind going in that this would get done? And I don't want to put words in your mouth and said it was done with ease, but did you have a good feeling that there was going to be work on both sides to make sure this got done?
Well, I always thought that, you know, in my dealings with Sidney, I always felt that he loved playing in Pittsburgh. He loved our fans. He loved our ownership in terms of how committed they are. And again, from my standpoint, it's the general manager, the magnitude of this deal. I got to thank our ownership and Mary Lemieux and Ron Burkle for stepping up and securing Sidney for basically the rest of his career here. And so based upon Sid's willingness and what he's told me over the last 6 years I've been with him, and especially this past year and over the last month and my meetings with him, and I never doubted it would probably get done, and certainly knowing the commitment from our ownership group and how they feel about Sid as a player and a person, I was pretty certain this would get taken care of. But until it's done, you're never certain, so it's a good day for all of us.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Seth Rohrbaugh of Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Hey, Ray. Just looking forward, how much does a contract like this with the AAV of what it is, you know, help you long-term when it comes to maybe – re-signing Evgeny Malkin or Crystal Tang or Marc-Andre Fleury a couple years down the road?
Well, dealing with just the Sid contract here and the AAV, number one, is important, you know, for a player this magnitude, what he's accomplished in the league, to, you know, and the AAV to remain the same is very important. And so I think in this contract we got, you know, the values in the contract at 104.4, plus you get the AAV of 8.7. That's important. In terms of re-signing, you know, the players you mentioned, the future will be under a new CBA. I'm not sure what that's going to be, obviously, but those are important pieces. And, you know, the thing with Gino is reigning MVP of the league, and it's almost like having, you know, two kids that you're equally fond of. And, you know, when the time comes and under what the rules are going to be, we're going to try to make Gino happy as well and keep him a Penguin for a long time. And that would be our mindset when we have a new CBA in place. And, you know, we'll see how Chris and Mark do as well. But, you know, the new rules are going to kind of dictate what we can and cannot do. So, but the 8.7 certainly is beneficial to the team. And, you know, from Sidney's standpoint, the long-term deal is beneficial for him.
The next question comes from Rob Rossi of Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Pat and Ray, congratulations. I'm wondering if you guys noticed the way the community in Pittsburgh really responded to Sidney during his dealings with the concussion, the time he was out and everything, did that strengthen or in any way sort of improve his bond with sort of the city? And, Pat, do you really think that cemented any doubts, if there were any, about him wanting to be a part of that community going forward for a long, long time?
Well, he's not only he's won the cup there in Pittsburgh the 1 year before the Penguins were runner-ups. I mean, he went to this franchise when the franchise was literally at the bottom, and it was part of the build-up of this franchise. So he was emotionally extremely attached to the fans and the city of Pittsburgh and the organization, to Ron Mario and Ray and David and the whole group, and it meant a lot to him. So when you are negotiating a contract like this, of this magnitude, I mean, it's important to, as a player, it's important to understand what you want and where you want to be first. And first and foremost, and Cindy understood that from day one. And whether or not, I mean, what he's been through, I mean, the goods and the bads and all that, I mean, in a vacuum, he was able to realize what he want, where he wanted to be, and he wanted to be in Pittsburgh. So this contract means a lot to him.
The next question comes from Guillaume LaFrancois of Radio Canada Sports.
Hi, guys. If I may just ask a question in French for Pat Brisson. Dis-moi, Pat, j'aimerais juste savoir jusqu'à quel point le fait qu'on ne connaît pas l'avenir de la convention collective a servi de pression là, pour avoir un contrat à long terme sans savoir ce qui sera permis et ce qui ne sera pas dans le prochain contrat de travail.
Mais je pense qu'on a approché les négociations de la même façon, même si la convention collective n'était pas à échéance. On a approché ça d'une façon logique. Il va avoir 26 ans lorsque son contrat va se commencer. Puis on a regardé les termes, puis c'est plutôt la façon dont on a regardé le tout au lieu d'attendre. C'était une question logique, simplement.
OK. Merci beaucoup, Pat. Félicitations.
Bienvenue.
And the final question comes from Nick Kotsonika of Yahoo Sports.
Hi, gentlemen. Congratulations. Just wondering if you could give us an update on Crosby's health. And I would assume, can we reasonably assume that you know as much as you can about his long-term health? It's going to be okay now.
Well, you know, I can speak. I've been with Sidney here. He's been training in Los Angeles, and he's feeling great. I mean, since he came back at the end of the season and the playoffs, he felt really good, and he's been training hard and feeling really well compared to last summer. It's been night and day. It's been very encouraging, and he's looking very well, and he's feeling well based on what he tells us, and he's looking ahead to a great season.
Yeah, and from a team standpoint, to reiterate what Pat's saying, and I saw Sid about 10 days ago, and, you know, the way he came back and finished up for us and, you know, was certainly on a points-per-game basis, just he obviously did very well on a points-per-game basis to finish the rest of the year and so forth, but playing at that level, despite not having training camp, not really being able to get into the routine that he needs to be in, this is an important summer for him. We feel confident as to where he is and how he finished up for us. And so, yeah, we believe the best days are going to be ahead here into the full summer of training, which he really didn't have last year at all. And to come back and play how he did and produce how he did certainly bodes well for the future.
That was Pat Brisson, Sidney Crosby's agent, and general manager Ray Shiro talking with the hockey media today about Sidney Crosby's contract. So we want to know what you think of the Crosby contract. You can call in at 347-202-0344. And we do have another co-host, Nick Richter. He's joined us. Nick, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm elated that the Pens were able to get such a good contract down with Crosby and his camp today. So how much better can you feel?
Yeah, we were kind of discussing that earlier. What were your thoughts of the deal, the length of the deal, the money, and how do you think that this impacts Evgeny Malkin or, you know, the ability to sign a Zach Parise or Ryan Suter?
You know, I think at some kind of point, there's a little bit of element of risk for a contract that long anyways. Concussions or no concussions, I mean, just anything could kind of mess that up in any way. So I kind of like the fact that there's a long contract here. He locks him up for a long time because at some point there is a risk. regardless of if it's a one-year contract or a 12-year contract. But it locks him up for life, and it's just a ridiculous cap hit. He didn't take 1 cent more for a pay raise at all. Like, there's no pay raise whatsoever, and I think that frees up the ability to be able to sign guys like Zach Parise and Ryan Suter.
Now, could you say that in French, please, for our French listeners? It was just so random that conference callers, like, one French question came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm sure Ashley knew what they were saying.
Yeah, you'd be our translator.
What did they say?
I missed it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we had
a little emergency.
Yeah.
Duncan the dog ran off. And,
my dog figured out how to open the door. Took off down the street.
They're really smart dogs.
If I were living in Canada, I would try to take off too.
Oh, God.
That's okay, because you know what? Canada doesn't want you.
Touché.
It's ridiculous.
No, I kid. But, no.
I don't.
Steph goes unapologetic. What were you? I didn't get a chance to hear some of your thoughts. I'm sure I'll hear most of them later. But just an overarching view, if you guys have already said that, what were some of your guys' just kind of opinions on it?
Well, I think unselfish was the word that we used pretty frequently. I mean, I think it's you know, the thing I touched on is that you have so many athletes in sports who at the top of their game are always talking about more and more and more and me and me and me, but you have arguably the most dominant professional athlete in sports right now, and he's taking less money than he could have. He could have gotten any figure he wanted from the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he chose to take less to benefit the league and benefit the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and the fact that the Pens are saving on this contract, because if he would have taken the maximum amount, like $64 million could have been tied up just in that. In my opinion, that's enough to sign someone like Zach Parise to an 8-9 year contract, in my opinion. Now, would you want to sign a Zach Parise for 8 or 9 years? That's a whole other thing. But, I mean, the money is there now. I mean,
yeah, no, a little kind of a spinoff on that. Now that the Penguins could have waited to announce this, do you think that, since they announced this so early, do you think that has anything to do with what they're going to do on Sunday?
Oh, completely. I think it's a complete mind game, and a lot of other teams did this now, too, today, like with Jonathan Quick and Haugill in Nashville, too. But the fact that this was the first one for the Penguins, the Crosby announcement today was the first out of all of these, I think it shows potential free agents like a Zach Parise, like a Ryan Suter, that hey, there's a commitment here to winning for the next 12 years. If you've got this guy on your team, he's not going to let this ship go down. So with that being said, if you want to win and if you want to come to a team that's got that commitment to winning, that's professional, that will treat you right, this is where you go, and this is what you do. You sign a little bit cheaper because you know you can get more money elsewhere, but you sign cheaper just for the environment that you're going into. It's a competitive environment, and it's an environment where you're treated fairly and like royalty, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And I think the other thing that it also says that the Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, they've been one of the most relevant franchises, if not the most relevant franchise, you know, over the last few years. That's only going to increase. It's going to do so many things for the city and for the team. I mean, you have the face of the league in Pittsburgh for a long time. This is the point I'm always going back to, is think about Kobe Bryant and the Lakers and Derek Jeter for the Yankees. I mean, think about what it does for those teams to have such a big name star, you know, be on one team for the duration of his career. When that player is the face of the league and the best player in the world, it does so much. The Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be relevant for the next decade, and it has a lot to do with what Sidney Crosby did today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's done so much for the franchise already, and for him to take the same amount of money over 12 years is just unbelievable. We have a tweet. Donnie W. 123 says, Crosby deal is great. Think team owes it to him. In fact, he is not getting more money. So unselfish. Simply amazing. Yeah. So pretty much pretty much what everyone thinks, except you may have seen Evil Sherry's been retweeting a ton of people that have been bashing this, calling this contract the worst in sports history, and I mean, quite obviously it is, right?
Just how could you sign a bum like that?
Hate is gonna hate.
Like that. Just an awful player. I mean, Crosby has never done anything. He's not even that good. He's really not.
But that Rick DiPietro contract is amazing.
Yeah, they called it. That's exactly what they brought it to. There were some people that were like, yeah, this is worse than DiPietro. Watch this one end up worse than DiPietro. I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah. I mean,
take a risk.
It's so impressive that he not only stops pucks, he stops the Islanders from getting out of last place.
You take a risk with any player you sign for this length of time. It's just a given.
Yeah, as a general manager, to win, you have to take some risks. You have to.
What do you do if you let him walk? I mean, the risk
exactly.
of him finding somewhere else and you losing Sidney Crosby, that's the bigger risk. The Penguins know what that mess that they were in with fossil location and all that stuff. They remember that very well.
Yeah, and the risk that you let him kind of go or trade him to another team in the next 15 years, he kicks your butt every freaking night you play him.
Right.
You would have to be an idiot. Like, so what's the safer bet in this regard? You have him burn you every night and say he stays healthy and then that happens and he wins multiple championships and you look like an idiot or you sign the guy for 12 years and he might get hurt.
Might.
I'll take the might anytime.
Dude, I mean, Chris Letang had a concussion last year. Are we going to freak out when Chris Letang's contract's up? No one's going to complain and whine and moan when Chris Letang gets a new contract. What about the guys that, you know, there are plenty of players. This is the thing about concussions is, they can shut you down for a long time and everything like that, but people do get better from them. I've had a concussion in the past before, and I'm a normal.
Well, that says a lot about you.
Yeah, actually. But other people have had concussions before and gone about their lives just fine.
It says a lot, I think, about the fans' faith in the Penguins organization, just in general. Like, and I think you might want to check yourself on that because this is the classiest run, probably, organization as far as player treatment and development goes. And to think that they would not do their homework on a Sidney Crosby for a contract this long, that they wouldn't think he's completely okay to sign – you got to be kidding yourself. You know, like, I mean, gosh, obviously Shiro and the company have done their homework and made sure that before they sent this contract out to him, that all concussion symptoms from this past concussion were in the rearview mirror, far away. He's okay from here on out. You can't control getting hit later in the future and getting another concussion. May Crosby get another concussion? It's possible. It's possible for any other player on that, like that roster to get a concussion right now, too. It happens. It's a fast game. It's a hard-hitting game, and you can't predict it. But there's an element of risk in this game, and you have to kind of be willing to do that.
And not only that, but it's – I mean, and don't get me wrong, you're completely right. But the same people that are whining and complaining about him getting this contract, they'd be whining and complaining if the Penguins didn't give him this contract. So when it comes to the fans around the league that are the Pittsburgh haters, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So just let these guys do what they do best, and that's win Stanley Cups and give players great contracts and stuff like that. I'm not trying to sound like a homer here, but
no, you're not.
Right. Nick is right when it comes to talking about player treatment. I mean, ask any player that's played from another organization. I remember I talked to Paul Martin one time Paul
Name
Martin's
dropper.
Dad. Well, I talked to Paul Martin's dad. It was at Ross Park Mall or something like that at an autograph signing. And he was talking about how much better Pittsburgh was than New Jersey and all the extra stuff that they do to go out of their way to make the players' health happier. I mean, so many players that play in Pittsburgh say that. It's not even questionable. They're rock stars around the team. Around the city, I'm sorry, and that's for a good reason.
Well, and Lemieux said that time and time again also, where they say that you're allowed to spend on salary this much, but they can't tell you how much you can spend on amenities for treatment and things in the locker room and the dressing room and the weight room that, like, just make life so much better for these players. And Pittsburgh, with a first-class organization, with a first-class building, and an owner that is willing to spend what it takes to keep his players happy, where else would you rather go? So,
yeah,
You brought up a good point about this kind of the double-edged kind of sort of that, like where like these are the same people that were upset like with whatever, like the same people like were upset with Jordan Staal for his entire career in Pittsburgh, and then whenever he turned down the contract, like you would think they would be happy about that because they hated him so long,
right?
So much,
right.
But they were like so furious for the fact that he turned it down. And it's like, you can't win. There's nothing you can do to win if something flies.
So true.
There's a lot of over-opinionated, potentially bipolar armchair GMs out there.
Oh, you're going to meet a lot of them in the next 48 to 72 hours.
I know. It's just getting started, but I don't. It's a little mind-boggling.
Crosby, 37 points in 22 games this past season. I think that's pretty good. 8 points in 6 playoff games. So, the regular season, 37 points, 22 games, that's pretty good. So, clearly, and he's a plus 15 as well. So, clearly, I think Sid may have a career year this year, given the fact that he is...
Yeah.
Given the fact that he's had, you know, so much time off, his legs are fresh. He's got a whole summer of training here. He's training in LA right now. Feels good. He's got, you know, and another thing is this. I think he got this done early because he doesn't like distractions. I mean, I remember in the finals, I think it was 09, like his family wanted to talk about their summer vacation plans. He's like, no, you know, I'm going to focusing on hockey right now. So I think that. You know, I think he wanted to get that done early. So now that he has that done, I mean, I think sky's the limit for this guy right now.
Yeah, and another thing that kind of should put Pens fans' minds at rest with the whole Crosby concussion thing, if any team he could have played in the entire first round of the playoffs would have been gunning for him, it would have been Philadelphia. And he did okay with that. Like, I mean... He didn't get hurt. He didn't appear to be injured or whatever. Like you said, he had 8 points in 6 games.
Yeah.
That's still above average.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, and it was a bad series all around. So eight points in 6 games, I'm not worried about it.
But he didn't show up. Malkin and Crosby didn't show up in the playoffs.
So bogus. I think there's... some part of their game that they might have been able to take to the next level. But it's so the problem pointing the finger at them is so far down the list of things that went wrong in that series that it's not even funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they're down there. Like if you're saying that, oh, we didn't win because Crosby didn't score 2 points a game, you're high.
Go watch that game again and see the defense and the goaltending.
Wow, he didn't score 2 points a game. No one scores 2 points a game pretty much.
Especially in the postseason. And the thing is that people don't understand about Sidney Crosby, people that aren't familiar with this team and don't follow Sid on a day-to-day basis, is that he is one of the most hardworking, humble guys you'll ever meet. Like, nothing is ever good enough for this guy. He's had losing to the Montreal Canadiens an 8 seed in the final game ever played in Mellon Arena. He's had to sit home, you know, while his team loses in the first round and blows a 3-1 series lead without him, and then he's got to lose to his rival team that boos him mercilessly all of the time and in, you know, kind of dramatic fashion, unfortunately, with these ridiculous, you know, seesaw scoring games. You don't think all three of those things and then potentially getting Zach Parise has this guy just chomping at the bit to play his first full season in years. He hasn't played a full season since, I mean, think about it. He hasn't played a full season since 2009-2010 season was the last full year that he played. It's been almost, you know, it's been over 2 years.
Crazy.
So, I mean, that's amazing to me that people could even question the fact that this guy isn't going to have just an amazing season. I think you can lock him down for the Hart Trophy now if Parise signs on Pittsburgh on Sunday.
Oh. It's definitely a great possibility. And I think I have to think that living with Mario for a while had to help him out a little bit as far as his contract stuff. And Mario's done so many things to save this franchise, and Sid's kind of just taken over this generation of that. So I'm sure you got to give a lot of credit to Mario, too. I'm sure Mario really taught him the right way to do things just as he's done his whole life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to call in, number 347-202-0344. Ask us about anything, talk about what do you think of the Crosby contract, anything about free agency. Speaking of that, we'll be on Sunday. Starts at noon, correct?
Yeah.
So 12 to 3 we'll be on. Just like last year.
Oh man, jumping right into it. No preview hour or anything.
Well, that's what we did last year though, isn't it? Because I remember we started it off with Ken
yeah.
was like you know, we pulled the offer from Friager off the table. So well, maybe I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we could always go like 11:30
yeah, maybe. Yeah. 11:30 to yeah.
But there's not, I mean, there's just only speculation kind of going up to that point. And so
and then when
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying
I know.
Just pointing out the, you know, just the overall feel of it. I'm not saying it's necessarily a good or bad thing. I'm just pointing out that we're going to go from the minute we go on the air, we're going to have stuff to talk about. I remember like in 2010, Sergei Gonchar, he signed just like.
Oh, yeah. It was right after pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say he was like the first one.
I think I remember, I was actually listening to you, Depto, on something that day. Were you like on the Hockey Guys or something?
Yeah,
like
I remember, because that was when you and I first met. I remember in 2010, it was like a little bit before that.
Yeah.
It was like June of 2010. You were first starting this site up.
Yeah.
I remember you and I talking. That was right when I first moved back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
To do fourth period stuff, and I remember you and I talking, and yeah, crazy.
The rest is history.
That was 2 years ago. Amazing how time flies.
Yeah, I remember you reporting the Paul Martin stuff and all that.
Oh God, everybody. This is the thing. I mean, if you're ever like, if you ever, you know, any kind of writer, and you ever do get like any kind of tip on something like that, I knew the Paul Martin thing. I put it on there, and there were like. Everyone was shooting it down. People were calling me a liar. Rossi told me he had no idea what the hell I was talking about. Like, all kinds of stuff like that. And then it came out. It was no one all of a sudden goes back and says, oh, yeah, you were right all along. No one says that. They're just like, oh, let's talk about it now.
And I guess that's the life of a writer sometimes. So. Some people just don't believe you. But then you just... You make a fool out of them.
Some people with that Paul Martin contract might have been wishing that you were kind of on drugs.
Well, at the time, I was pretty excited, but
I was pumped about it. I felt like Paul. Yeah,
it was weird because I remember, I think you said that, Depto, you said like the deal was done, and then it wasn't. And then McCulloch signed, and they were like, okay, I guess Martin's not coming, and then. Then it ended up being a done deal right after that. So
yeah, that was when I started to really get a lot of flack because I was like, I remember being on the air, and we had people from Fox Sports on the air with us, and I was like, they've signed Mahalik and Martin. I'm not going back on what I said, and they were even like, we haven't heard any of this stuff. And then when he signed, because everyone thought Paul Martin was going to L.A. that off season. And then he signed to Pittsburgh, and they were like, oh, my God, they gave him that much. You know, I remember the Jersey people, like, laughing at Pittsburgh, saying, you gave him that much for that many years. And I don't think that they were completely right. I still think Paul Martin has a little bit more life left than the Penguins fans think. But at the same time, he probably, you know, it's like I've always said, if you take Paul Martin's contract and Chris Letang's contract and you flip them, then people complain a lot less about both.
Well, let's hope this July 1st the Penguins are taking another New Jersey Devil named Zach Parise.
Yeah, let's narrow that down a bit.
Dinah Zubras.
Yeah. Crap.
Steve Bernier.
Well, looking across the league, there are actually a lot of deals done today. Most recently, the Vancouver Canucks agreed with goaltender Corey Schneider. Some reporting it's worth $12 million over 3 years, so $4 million per season. Do you think Luongo's on his way out now?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be a Florida.
For his sake, I hope so.
I would think so.
I'm so jealous. He's getting to go to Florida. getting them.
You're gonna save a lot of money there.
Yeah, it's tax free. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Florida. Did they actually announce that, or is that just?
No, it hasn't been. Well, it was announced that the only team he would waive his no trade clause to was the Florida Panthers. So I mean, the writing's on the and Vancouver.
Wait, when has that ever been said in history? The only team I'm willing to waive my no clause for is the Florida Panthers.
Dude, if I were a hockey player, I would do it. I'd have like Anaheim.
The team that didn't make the playoffs for 14 straight years until this year, I'm gonna waive my no trade clause to that. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's used to all that media BS in Vancouver.
Oh yeah.
That, the weather.
No, I don't blame him, but it's just so funny that's like.
No, I know.
It's actually been said now.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So yeah, and
what's next? I'm waving my no trade clause to go to Columbus.
Oh, I don't know if you heard that. Maybe not to be traded there. But I don't think to be traded there. This is where we need Ken for him to start bashing Columbus.
Yeah, I'm like the pro-Columbus guy on the panel, and he's like the anti-Columbus guy. Yeah, I love it here. I think it's a great city, and I hope the Blue Jackets turn it around because I don't – It's fun, you know. They're not an Eastern Conference team, so it's not like I really have that many, you know, conflicts of interest or anything like that. And it's cool living in a city where there's a good hockey team. It just makes everything better. There's more hockey talk. People are more excited about going to the games. There's more of a buzz in the air when the playoffs come around. So I want the Blue Jackets to do well. I'm not shy about that.
It's kind of like the Pirates. I mean, they've been losing for so long, and It's hard to root against the Pirates because, you know, they've just been losing for so long. It's kind of a similar situation. But they haven't lost for 19 years. That hasn't been that long. But
it's gonna be 20.
But another signing, Jonathan Quick, 10-year contract extension. I'm sure he screamed the F word when he got the contract.
Effing love this team.
Look at this effing contract.
Effing love this deal. 10 effing years. F yeah.
But I think it's a similar thing to Crosby, you know, announcing this. Now, you know, LA, they already have pretty good defense, but I think a lot of guys will be pretty confident with Jonathan Quick in that net.
Yeah, their team's okay.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're all right.
I mean, they got the piece.
That's another vote of confidence for people going in there, too. So, I mean, yeah you just won the Stanley Cup, and you just lock up your goalie for a ridiculous amount of time. Yeah.
And he's from America.
The Kings are either going to be really good or really confusing for the next few years because they've got pretty much their core, Carter, Richards, Quick, et cetera, pretty much locked up for a long time. And you know, they won the Stanley Cup and they blazed through the playoffs, but I'm not trying to be a troll or anything like that, but they barely got into the playoffs. They were one of the worst records of a team to ever make the postseason in the post-lockout year of the NHL. So they're not exactly a shoe-in to repeat, but they've still got that core locked up, and there still is a lot of potential there to be really good for a long time. So,
We talked about Corey Schneider and his new contract and what that means for Luongo. Pretty much, what does this mean for Jonathan Bernier?
Good point. I think he's going to Jersey.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It seems like a very, very logical place for him to land.
Yeah, I think he's going there. They've got a lot of young guys that probably they're trying to move some salary out. Hedberg's contract is up, or they're probably going to play one more year, and then he's done. They really don't have any prospects in the system. Bernier's basically, you know, today, you know, he basically knows that he'd be the backup for any long period of time if he stayed in Los Angeles. So, I guess you could go to Toronto and maybe start, but to me, Jersey's his best possible situation.
Hmm. You also have Tuukka Rask signing for 1 year. What is it, 3.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think about that deal? I mean, it's 1 year, and a lot of people expected a lot more, but what do you think about that after kind of taking a step back and looking at that contract for a little bit?
Well, I think it's interesting because it basically says I see why both parties did it, because Rask can, you know, he hasn't, you know, he's never really been the main number one guy since he's been in Boston with Tim Thomas there. If he has a big year, then he's going to get a huge contract, probably Absolutely. Similar to what Carey Price is going to get. But if, you know, it's the same thing with Boston, they probably want to do it because they haven't seen him for a full year. And they have Anton Khudobin, who is a really, really good young promising goalie in his own right. So they could say, okay, Rask looks shaky, but Khudobin looks great. Rask is going to have a lot of trade value a year from now. We can move his rights and make Khudobin the starter if Khudobin looks like he's going to be more promising down the line.
Or Malcolm Subban.
That's true. It's another good point. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
I totally forgot they drafted him. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Malcolm Subban, he's a great kid. Saw him. He's really
completely
happy.
Different from his brother,
oh,
DK.
Yeah, so much different. You could just tell by the way he was his, you know, media conference
himself.
after getting drafted. Just totally different.
Yeah.
But
wait until the third one makes it.
What's his name again? Forget.
Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll all conspire to get on the same team.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Now, well, getting back to Luongo, we got a tweet here, Donnie W123 again. He said he thinks Luongo met his wife in Florida, so they have ties there. They were talking about it on Hockey Night in Canada today. Maybe good for him. So maybe that's why.
Good Luongo. Point by Donnie.
Donnie Irons.
Dude, you're rich in South Florida. I'm sorry, but there's like there's a laundry list of things worse than that. That's a great life.
Living the good life.
Oh man, kick it on the beach. No worrying about people breathing down your neck if you have a bad game. You know, it's January and all your buddies that you play juniors with and stuff, they're all freezing their butts off back home in -12 degree weather, and you're sitting there 82 degrees on the sun drinking a Mai Tai. Oh my God, on the All Star break, beautiful. Beautiful. Why the hell am I in Ohio? I'm getting out of here.
Ohio.
Where are all the people who drive slow in the left lane?
Where everybody... They can't drive at all. What are you talking about? I walk out of my house every day. I need restrictor plates on my car. Everybody bouncing off me. People
rain.
Can't merge anything.
Rain or the traffic?
Rain or traffic.
There's not much rain over there, though.
No, it doesn't rain.
It's triple digits in Columbus today.
Wow.
Dude, the heat index was like 113 in the afternoon. It was insane.
Pretty hot. Pretty hot
still,
today.
It's still really hot. I'm sweating more than Rafi Torres and Brendan Shanahan's office.
Gotta love the hockey humor.
I'll tell you off the air.
Or he's gotta be sweating more than Jay-Z. Or Rafi Torres dressed up as Jay-Z in the middle of the hood.
He's going to be sweating more than Rafi Torres dressed up like Chris Brown at a Drake concert.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Rafi Torres is a basket case.
Yeah.
Speaking of basket cases, another guy that's been linked to the Penguins, Jordan Tutu. Tutu. What are your thoughts on that possibility? Kind of looking like a fourth line potential kind of Aaron Ashland replacement.
Oh, boy. It's a risk because you might be getting a really good fourth line guy, but you could be going from the fireplace into the furnace if you replace Aaron Ashland with that guy and he kind of goes. But, hey, you know what? Maybe that'd be a good spot for him because Cook could kind of be like – look, I used to be a douchebag. You can be in douchebag recovery. I will show you how.
It'll only cost you your entire paycheck.
Give me some of that money.
I think Jordan Tutu is another guy a lot like Cook that if he could clean up his act, you could see a lot of the same production that Cook hit this year, too. I think he's got decent hands outside of the fighting kind of style of things. I think he could be a guy that scores consistently 15 to 20, maybe on a very, very high end. But I think you could see some kind of recovery like that. That would be great. Otherwise, you could always sign Stephen McIntyre to punch someone in front of someone.
I'm going to punch somebody right in front of you.
I'm going to punch you in front of somebody.
We've this morning there was a lot of talk about, well, I know that there's been some chatter about Shane Doan, and this morning a lot of Alex Semin talk. I didn't like that at all.
No, I don't like it at all either, and I hope that's just smoke and mirrors for crying out loud.
I mean, I know most, I think all of us would agree that we don't want Alex Semin on this
team.
Oh,
my God. Absolutely not.
So total BS.
Let's figure a scenario out that it would be perfectly acceptable for Shiro to go out and get this guy. Let's say you can't get anybody else on the market, and you offer him a one-year deal. Is that acceptable?
No.
Parise.
No way.
Parise is going to get barely, I mean, not that much more than probably what Semin's going to want. I mean,
yeah,
I could see the team like Detroit, who really needs forward help, really kind of bringing a guy like Semin in and that doing well. But if another team brings him in, I do not, for what Bielsma does in their system and the kind of locker room bond that a lot of those guys already have, I wouldn't sign Alex Semin for the minimum salary. I'd rather bring back Mike Comrie than sign out.
Comrie.
At least Mike Comrie was a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You brought up Detroit, which I think is pretty interesting because they have a kind of a little bit of a history taking reclamation, kind of rebuilding kind of style of players like Todd Bertuzzi and kind of making him into a classier player. You know, in Detroit, and they've taken chances on players that no one else in the league is willing to take a chance on, and they do okay there. And now we've seen Bertuzzi kind of re-up there and kind of continue playing there, and he'll probably finish out his career there until he can't play any longer, because I don't know if anyone else would really take that risk on him. And then potentially Alex Semin, and I could see that actually working out a lot better for him there, where everything is so steeped in tradition, everything is so revered and respected, and the coaching staff has been in place there for a ridiculous long time, and there's proven success there. It works, and you've got a fellow countryman like Pavel Datsyuk there to kind of bring you along and kind of mold you into a maybe a more of a work ethic kind of player. So if any place in the entire NHL would be a good spot for Alex Semin to land, I would think it would be Detroit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's some good points there, especially about...
And maybe that's the thing that gets him on track to be a legit superstar, because the guy's got all-world talent. Like,
oh, my God,
Let's make no mistake about that. I mean, we're not talking about this joke player, but what we're talking about is his ethic and his attitude towards working hard every game and every practice and wanting to improve. And from what we've seen in Washington, there's been no desire to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you did see a lot of it in the postseason this year. I was really surprised, because you're totally right. I mean, the guy reminds me a lot of Nikolaj Jeridov. Just the guy had the ability to score 40 goals in this league, no question. But there was just something, the physical game and the mental game, just they were not on the same page. But I think Semin, he really blossomed in that postseason series against the Boston Bruins. He was picking corners from 30 feet out. I mean, he was doing all kinds of, you know, all kinds of moves that players that are kind of thrown into that, you know, one-dimensional sniper kind of thing, they typically don't do. And I think you're right. I think he gets, you know, next to a guy like Datsyuk, who speaks his language, you know, he won't have any communication issues with, which granted, so did Ovechkin, but I don't think Ovechkin even speaks human at this point in his career. So.
Man.
Datsyuk is you know, as classy of a guy as you're going to find around the league. He's a champion. He's one of the best players the NHL has ever seen in a future Hall of Fame.
He's respected.
Right, exactly. He's a classy guy who has a lot of respect. You can play next to him. You can score 80 points, and you can be on a potential championship contender, or you can act like a crybaby, and people can pigeonhole you, and you can go back to the KHL. It's your choice.
Absolutely. And I wonder how much of that has to do with just the superstar, rock star kind of environment that Alex Ovechkin and Ted Leontis kind of laid out when those guys came to town, and how it really, they thought it would work out. They thought they were all that. They thought they could just go out there and their talent would just shine through and they could win multiple cups. And then when they realized it didn't work, it was a little bit of a wake-up call to both players. And so a change of scenery is probably the best bet. Get him away from everything that he's been comfortable with and into a situation where he's got a guy that's been there, he's done that, he's respected, and he works hard, and that's going to wear off. I'm not so sure Washington had a lot of players like that.
It's hard to believe. This guy made $6.7 million this past year. It's going to be, that's only $2 million less than what Crosby has been.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's going to be asking for. That'll be interesting to see. That'll be another interesting storyline to watch.
It surprises me that Washington re-upped the guy for one year a couple different times.
And they gave him a $700,000 raise this past year.
And it's, I mean, you've got an all-world potential player here, all-world talent, and they're just going to let him go. They didn't even make an attempt to trade this guy and get some assets for him even.
You remember when he said all that stuff about Sidney Crosby?
Yeah.
I mean, that alone tells you that there's no way that this guy could coexist in that locker room. He doesn't even respect the captain of the team.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Be watching his jock straps if he came here.
Speaking of captains, captain of the Phoenix Coyotes, Shane Doan, is a free agent. Do you think you guys would have any interest in him on the Penguins if they were to fail to sign Zach Parise?
I would. I know a lot of people that would not. I know a lot of people. I talked about this with a couple of Pens fans, and they did not want any part of him. But I think he'd be a great fit. I mean, you know the guy's hungry to win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
He's a veteran guy, which I think that team has really missed a presence like that since Bill Guerin retired.
Yeah.
He's good two-way play. He doesn't mind going to the corners. At his age, I mean, he's still got the hands to put in, you know, a 30-30 type season. If you can get him for 3.5 or something like that, if Parise signs elsewhere and you want to get Suter, but you still want to make a move for the top six, I mean, I think that would be a really smart move. A lot of people disagree, but as long as he keeps his elbows in the right place, I think he'd be a nice move.
Yeah, I think before that that hit this year, I think a lot of Pens fans would have loved to have him on the team. But after seeing something like that, it kind of leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
It does. You're right.
It's unbelievable. The guy's extremely durable, too.
Yeah.
I mean, his entire career, he's played at least 70 games every season.
Yeah, it's a good point.
All right, with the exception of 96, 97, he played in 63. But still, I mean, that's saying something. He's 35 years old, so very durable. 79 games this past year, 22 goals, 20 assists. So 50 points, respectable number there. That's an interesting point, though, with the whole leadership thing. And I'm kind of with you, Joe. I think, you know, if you can't sign Parise and you get Suter, you're definitely going to need that top six guy. And Shane Doan, you know, when Bill Guerin came, he immediately came with or was put on the Crosby line. And pretty much be the same thing with Doan. It worked out with Guerin. So, I mean, I think it'd be worth a shot if you can't get Parise, and because they're definitely going to need another guy, another winger to put up there, I think, with Sid. Got about 90 seconds left in the show, courtesy of the British lady telling us that.
If you have diabetes and are on Medicare, you may qualify for a free meter from Liberty Medical.
And brought to you by Liberty Medical.
You may be eligible for a huge contract on July 1st.
Yeah. Your name is Zach Parise.
We need to call Wilford Brimley's agent and have him do a bunch of radio spots for us.
God.
If you like Nickelback, you're effing crazy.
We have plenty of spots on Sunday, so
yeah,
we're kind of booked there.
Yeah, and a couple guests too. Brian Metzer from ThePoint.com and from NHL.com will be joining us off and on throughout the time. I'm pretty sure I think Josh Yoey too,
we'll
and a few other
Josh
people.
On.
So we're gonna have a pretty crazy show come July 1st, and a lot of other extracurricular stuff in there too. So
yeah,
I think you guys will be highly entertained.
Yeah, I know. Last year's July 1st was pretty entertaining, and I expect the same thing this year.
Turned into a greed fest.
Yeah. But that'll do it for this live version of the Pens Nation Radio Show. You can catch us tomorrow at 10 o'clock p.m. See you later.